Greg Wynn is a certified public accountant. We're trying to save you money on your taxes. In fact, we're going to do it. Here's Joe in L.A. on Money 101. Joe, Bob here with Greg. Go right ahead, Joe. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I have this dilemma with the IRS. Social Security keeps reporting they're paying my wife workman's compensation, which is equal to over $30,000 for the last 3 years. IRS keeps taxing me on the money, and we've yet to ever get a dime from Social Security.
Whoa, wait a minute. Now, first off, there are taxes on Social Security, just like there can be taxes on unemployment benefits if you get up to a certain level, right?
Well, Social Security is tricky. If a married couple makes over about $34,000 a year, up to 85% of it can be taxable. If you have no other income, however, it could be tax-free.
But, Joe, how can this be happening if you're making money too, right, Joe?
I'm working. My wife is working. Social Security keeps saying they're making direct deposits into my account, and there's no money going into my bank account.
Well, why don't you just send evidence of that to the Social Security Administration? In fact, I wouldn't send it. I'd go down there to the office and present them the bank account, and you demand that they show you where the money's going, Greg.
And Joe, what you might want to do as well, if you actually did not get money deposited into your account, if you didn't have access to the funds, you could actually report the Social Security benefits on your tax return and then back them out. And then as audit evidence, you'll have your bank statements, which shows that the money never went in.
That sounds like a good step. Joe, I hope you take that advice from Greg Wynn on Money 101.
We have an appointment with Social Security a week from today, and we have all our records in order.
Well, let me know what happens, all right?
I sure will.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good one. Thank you for calling Money 101. Our toll-free number is 888-539-2980, 888-KFWB-980. Look, it definitely behooves you to talk to someone face-to-face if you're having a problem like this, whether it is a payment from Social Security, whether it's identity theft. You need to take care of it right away, and that's what we'll try to help you do if you don't have a plan of action. On preparing your taxes, the biggest mistakes that people make, they may forget to sign the return. They may forget to put the date. I mean, there's little things that can hold up your refund, right?
You're absolutely right, Bob. A math error, a matching error. The IRS will match up your tax return with documents that other people file. So if you have a mortgage loan, mortgage interest, if you have dividends, dividend income, if you're missing one of those forms on your tax return, it can delay your refund. So it's best to check and recheck it before you file.
I have a couple of puny accounts, but I still get interest, and it's like about $10, $20 here. It can be that, and if you don't catch it and say, oh, I don't need to put that, that's such a small amount, you have to take that into consideration, or you could end up, right, getting caught by the computer. This isn't a human brain that's looking at this and saying, oh, they just missed that one little thing. This is a computer. It spits it out. Boom, you get the letter.
And one thing you can consider that a lot of people might not is you can call the IRS, you can ask for a record of account. It's free, it'll be faxed to you, and it'll show all of the amounts that were reported under your Social Security number so you can be sure that your return is complete.
Good advice. Greg Wynn is a certified public accountant. We're going to try to put some more money away right now with Greg. And if you have a question about your taxes, about what's deductible, about what you might owe, how the IRS might red flag you, you can call us toll-free at 888-539-2980. That's 888-KFWB-980. All right, everybody wants to have, who has kids, to be able to afford college these days. And it's unbelievable. What are the ways to save for college, Greg, that can be tax beneficial?
Well, a lot of us will accumulate wealth in different ways. We'll build equity in our homes, or we'll set up savings or 401k accounts. So that's one way to save for college. But one of the better ways that we found is what's called a Section 529 account. That's a fancy name for an account that you put money into and you don't get a tax deduction, but all the earnings are tax-free forever as long as you use them to pay for education.
It's something like a Roth, you might say, because you're not paying taxes on what is gained.
It is exactly like a Roth, except you can put more money in every year. Right now, you could put in up to the annual gifting limit, which is $13,000, or you can pre-fund 5 years. So you can put in up to 13 or up to 65,000 once and then not fund again for 5 years. So the limits are generous. And, you know, going to college now is almost like buying a second home. Currently, if you go to a state system here in California, you can expect to pay about $125,000 for an undergraduate degree. Private school will run you about twice as much.
And the college tuition is only part of it. Then you got the travel. Then you got the, you know, room and board. Are you going to get them a car? Even getting back and forth to see the folks, especially if you go out of state. I mean, you know, just applying for college, getting the ACT, the SATs in, that's a couple hundred dollars because you got to get those copies. You travel to the campus, and a lot of the campuses do require a visit. And they're going to check to see if you go. All right, let's go to Sam in Long Beach on Money 101 on KFWB News Talk 980. Bob McCormick here with Greg. Hi, Sam.
Bob, I got a question. I worked for an employer that was a construction field that had his own problems. He wasn't paying his taxes, wasn't paying his employees, just a crooked, fraudulent guy. And now I got my W-2 in the mail, and it says that I got paid in full, and I've talked to other employees, and we've all quoted our W-2, have been paid in full. How do I do my taxes knowing that none of the numbers are correct on my W-2?
Wow.
So, Sam, if I understand, you received a W-2, but the amount of cash that you actually got is less than what's shown on your W-2?
The amount of payroll, the amount of tax, it's a number that they pulled out of thin air because I know that all the numbers are incorrect. I even talked to one employee who had been on unemployment, and you know her W-2 said that she got paid in full the whole time she was there. And I don't want to pay taxes on money I didn't get paid.
No kidding.
Well, this is, this situation is more common than you might think. And oftentimes you'll receive a tax form in the mail, and you'll just assume that that's the number to put on your tax return, but it may not be, because if you can back it up with bank statements and what you actually received, you can do a reconciliation on your return and back out amounts that you haven't received and pay tax on only the cash that you actually got.
So how do you do this? Is it an affidavit process with the IRS that you swear that you didn't get this money? You show your bank account to show that that money wasn't deposited in the bank account? What do you do?
If you're preparing the return on your own, it could be as simple as just putting a little handwritten sheet or statement attached to the tax return, which shows the amount on the W-2 and the amount that you actually received. And just pay tax on what you actually received.
All right. Very good advice. Thank you. Toll-free, our Southern California number on Money 101 is 888-539-2980. That's 888-KFWB-980. Certified public accountant Greg Wind is here. He's going to be on regularly through tax time as we help you with your taxes, help you save money. Andy's in Orange County on Money 101. Bob here with Greg. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Bob.
Go right ahead, sir.
Question is, I got a 1099-C from my bank. It is a loan reduction on my rental property. Is it a ordinary income for tax purpose for 2010? That's the question.
Well, 1099-C, for those that don't know, is when the bank sends you a slip for a short sale. Sometimes a property is sold for less than the loan balance. If it's a personal residence, you can exempt up to $2 million if you're married from taxable income. But if it's a rental property, it could be a little bit more problematic. But it doesn't stop there. If you're insolvent, there may be ways to get out of paying tax on that. But generally speaking, rental property, 1099-C, it could be additional taxable income.
But he definitely needs a professional when you're getting into that area. But let me ask you, I thought there was forgiveness, and that is on foreclosure on the original loan but not on income property. Is that why he's getting taxed on this or attempted to?
Yeah, the tax breaks relate to personal residences.
All right, yeah. That's a tough boat to be in. So if you have a question about rental property and the mortgage deduction, which, by the way, is very good, it's still in the tax code. We don't have to worry about not being able to deduct the mortgage interest that we pay on our homes unless it's, what, over $1.1 million or something?
That's right. You get the first $1 million on what they call acquisition indebtedness, the loan that you take out when you buy the property, and another $100,000 of debt in an equity line, which you can use for any purpose.
So it's still tax advantageous in most cases to own a home. I mean, given the crunching the numbers on renting as opposed to owning, but I mean, you can still deduct the mortgage interest.
Well, and just like you, Bob, I've heard the talk about the repeal of the home mortgage interest deduction, but you know, kind of a sacred cow along with the charitable contribution deduction.
Greg Witt is with us on Money 101. Our toll-free number is 888-539-2980. Marina is in West Hills on Money 101. Hi, Marina.
Hi there. Hello.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
Okay, well, I was just wondering, I just graduated from college last year and got a job, and I basically had several expenses, like buying a car that kind of came with that because I didn't have a car all last year, and I had, you know, work clothes that I had to buy. So I was just wondering what the process for taking those deductions would be and whether I'd be eligible for them.
Well, congratulations on getting your first job out of school.
Yeah, great. Yeah, wait a minute. I gotta keep you on the line after this call because I want to know how you did it so we can tell our other listeners. But go ahead.
Yeah, that was great.
Go ahead, Greg.
Job search expenses are deductible. You might want to talk to a professional advisor. There are a couple of requirements, but things like printing up resumes, mileage to and from appointments, overnight stays can be deductible. So I'd suggest you talk to somebody.
Even the mileage, like you said, I think is it 51 cents a mile or so driving to a job? Interviews and that sort of thing?
That's right.
Yeah. But the important thing is you got one, and now you're handling your money, Marina, so congratulations to you.